Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be teaching a series. All of these will build upon each other. And let me just say up front that I'm going to be saying some things that I guarantee you is going to challenge every person in here. These first few verses that I read, if you really understood what they say, I guarantee you, it would just challenge to the core every one of our beliefs. And yet this is from the Bible. And yet here's what I've discovered, dealing with myself and with other people, that you know what, most people do not let the Bible get in the way of what they believe very much. Most people believe things because this is what they have been taught either directly or by example, or they've just assimilated it. And they don't really know what the Word says. And when they read something, they let the traditions and doctrines of men basically void the Word of God. This is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 13. He says, "But your traditions and doctrines of men have made the Word of none effect." And so I'm going to read some verses right here out of Hebrews chapter 10 that at first glance may not mean much to you, but we're going to go back and just take these and break this down over these five sessions. And basically what we're going to do is do a study on the book of Hebrews. But as I've been studying this, about the last month or 2 months, I've been reading through Hebrews, and I got stuck here in Hebrews chapter 10 at these verses, just overwhelmed with what they said. And I've been meditating on it, and for well over a month, I'm sure, this is about the only verses that I've studied and just gone back, and it's just really impacted my life. And everything that the book of Hebrews is saying, basically, is encapsulated right here in Hebrews chapter 10, just a few verses. So we're going to read those, and then we're going to spend the rest of this week going back and breaking down and explaining this. And we'll go back to a lot of different scriptures. And basically what this will do is give us a summary of what the book of Hebrews is about. If Hebrews and Romans aren't probably your two favorite books in the Bible, or at least up there in the top 10, you do not understand the gospel. These are tremendous books. And the book of Hebrews was written specifically to help people who had been under a legalistic approach towards God to transition from that into the new covenant. The old covenant was a legalistic approach based on your performance and on how well you lived. And there is a difference between the way that people approach God under the old covenant and the way people approach God under the new covenant. And the book of Hebrews is written specifically to contrast this and to show you how to approach God through a new and living way. And the sad fact is, most Christians have never made this transition. The vast majority of Christianity, and I don't have any inspired thing on this, but it's just my personal opinion that I'm saying over 90% of all Christians and all Christian ministry is still based on the old covenant way of approaching God. And they think, but they're, you know, God is the same. It's all the same. And they try and merge the new and the old together. And that can't be done. Matter of fact, I won't take time to turn back over there, but when Jesus gave the parable about you can't put new wine into an old wineskins or the bottles will burst and the wine will run out, he was talking about the Old Testament law because people were challenging him. You aren't doing things according to what the scriptures say about the Sabbath. And his response was, you can't put new wine into an old wineskin. You have to put new wine into a new wineskin. There was a brand new way. That's the reason we call it the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. They aren't the same. There's more of a difference than just one blank page in your Bible. It is a total different approach towards God. And yet most people have never made the transition. And then there's a lot of people that are just totally approaching God as if there wasn't a new covenant. And then there's a lot of people that are trying to mix the two. And they don't mix. It's impossible. There has to be a clean break. And this is the reason that the book of Hebrews and the book of Romans was written to help us in this area. And yet most Christians haven't made the transition. And so I'm going to be reading some scriptures. I just wanted to warn you up front that if you believe this, it's going to totally transform everything. You're going to have to make one or two decisions. If you come to all five of these sessions, you're going to have to make one or two decisions. You're either going to have to change and let the Word of God begin to dominate your life, or you'll have to reject what I'm saying and because it doesn't line up with tradition in the way you've been taught. Those are about the only two choices. And somebody says, oh, I don't believe I have any tradition in me. Well, just hang on. I can guarantee you we'll be countering some tradition. Amen. So look in Hebrews chapter 10. To me, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through, I believe it's about verse 23, summarizes the whole book of Hebrews. Matter of fact, he starts off by saying this in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 19. He says, having therefore, brethren. So the word therefore is linked to the previous statements and basically the points that he had been making in the book of Hebrews up to this point. And so here is kind of the conclusion. It's like if you were to want to hang a picture on the wall, you have to put a nail in to bear the weight, and then you hang the picture, and it hangs on that one nail or on that screw that you put in the wall. This is like the nail. This is the point that he's trying to make. And all of these other truths, everything in the book of Hebrews hinges on this. And as we go back through this and look at it, I believe we'll be able to basically summarize the points he's trying to make. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, that through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You know, those are easy scriptures to read, but we're going to go back and look at this, and as we break this down and look at every single thing that's said in here, I think that you're going to come to a place that we haven't been taking full advantage of what Jesus purchased for us. And this is the reason that we haven't been getting better results. This is going to, I really believe, challenge some things. So let's go back and look at this. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 19. He says, having therefore, and again, this is putting it into context. The immediate context of this, chapter 9 and chapter 10, is talking about how that Jesus offered one sacrifice for all sin forever. One sacrifice. Now, I'm going to expound on this more either tomorrow morning or tomorrow night. I'm not sure exactly how it's all going to come out. But let me just say this as a tease, and this is going to challenge some of you from the very get-go. Most people don't understand this. Most people think that every time you sin, you have to have that new sin, even after you get born again, put under the blood and confessed, or you lose either your eternal relationship with God, or a lesser interpretation, but the same thing is you lose your fellowship with God. And every time that you commit a sin as a Christian, you got to run back and get that sin under the blood and reatone for. Now, I'm going to go into more detail on this later, so I won't do it tonight. But the scripture in Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10, about five or six different times, are making the point that the Old Testament had to offer a sacrifice for sin every time you committed a sin. But the reason for it was because they were only types and shadows and pictures of what was coming. And so the type and the shadow had to be constantly kept before the people. So every time you sinned, there had to be a sacrifice. And then one day a year, the Day of Atonement, they offered a sacrifice for everybody's sins just to cover everything in case anything was missed. There was a constant reminder of sin. And did you know that that is still prevalent in the body of Christ today? The average Christian comes to the Lord, believes that they get forgiven of their sin up until the point where they got born again, and then the next time you sin, you got to go back and reconfess that sin and get it under the blood. And if you don't, well then, two interpretations. The extreme legalists believe that every sin that is unconfessed, you go to hell. Even though you could have been a Christian for 20, 40 years, if you have an unconfessed sin in your life, you go to hell. If I believe that, I'd just kill you the moment you got born again, because that's the only way you're ever going to make it. You can't keep every single sin confessed. There's sins that we do that are sins of omission, not only things that we've directly violated, but you fail to be everything that you should. The Bible says to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Romans 14:23. So sin is not only the things you're doing that are wrong, contradictory to a command, but sin is what you should be doing that you're failing to do. Every one of us is failing. And if you had to keep every sin confessed, you might as well hang it up. I'd do you a service to just kill you the moment you get born again, because that's the only way you're going to keep it all straight. But see, the Scripture says that God forgave us of all sin, past, present, and even sin that you haven't committed yet. And so back up in just a couple of verses here in verse 17. It's quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 and 34. And the end part of this in verse 17, it says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." This was a prophecy about a New Testament covenant that was going to come into effect. He says, "I'm going to void the first covenant, the Old Testament law, and I'm going to establish a new covenant." And here is one of the major planks are contracts in this new covenant, and that is that their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK152 titled "Enter Boldly" when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come to one of our Gospel Truth Seminars that we hold around the country. You know these programs, I know many of you get blessed by it, and man, the Word of God is blessing your life. Just think what it would be like to sit under this for an hour or two every night, 5 times over 3 days. That's what a Gospel Truth Seminar is like. And I had just had a guy recently say that as much as he enjoyed me on television, he says, man, the meeting was 10 times better. I encourage you to come. These are really powerful times with the Lord. It would make a difference in your life. So I encourage you to please take advantage of these Gospel Truth Seminars.